Well, for the benefit of listeners to Ten Radio, this is a pre-recorded monthly interview like we've done the last couple of sessions with Ken. So it's actually Sunday night, it's the 11th of April now in Fitzhead. It's a beautiful spring evening, it's 8:15 in the evening. I'm talking to Ken. The last time I spoke, Ken was resting up and sort of catching up on his training as well, getting over a few injuries on the island of Malta. Okay, Ken, would you like to tell us where you are now?
I'm back with MMI trusty steed over in eastern Turkey, almost within throwing distance of the Georgian border and the start of the Caucasus.
Great. And so a final question really about Malta. I know you had your dad out with you for a week in Turkey right at the beginning of the year, and your mum came out for a week in Malta. Did you have a good time there together?
Yeah, I mean, it was one of the quite unexpected benefits of deciding for a whole host of reasons of going to Malta. Then actually my mum, who'd not been able to travel out to Turkey with my dad, could come out there, and we had sort of like a long weekend quality time together. I'd saved up my exploring the island to do that with my mum, and we had glorious weather for that, you know, a little bit warmer than the UK, but not too much. And that also has yielded quite a few photographs that have appeared on the website.
There's a great photograph of your mum on the website, isn't there? Yeah, we were really pleased that you had some time both with your dad and your mum. It was a shame that they weren't both together with you at the same time, but that was for good reasons. Yeah, so some great photographs of the old Maltese architecture and so on, which we enjoyed. But thinking ahead, what are your immediate plans now, Ken? I gather you've got a fairly crucial deadline to meet by mid-June.
Yes, I have to canter through the Caucasus and across the Caspian Sea to reach the Chinese border by the middle of June. Otherwise, my visa becomes invalid, and they can be a little bit tricky to get hold of. So very important that I make that. And then there's a sort of subsequent one where the authorities in China have given me just 60 days to get over to Hong Kong, which I think is doable. I'm hopeful I can get a bit of an extension when I get there. But I have to assume for the moment that once more, Emma, my trusty steed, and I will be cantering across the deserts and plains and skirting around the mountains of China to hit Hong Kong and the edge of Asia just in time.
Oh, that's good. I mean, I was looking at your website the other day, and it's quite interesting. There's been quite a major refresh. In particular, I enjoyed the new map of Stans, which is really helpful. So, I mean, I'm aware that you're about to enter Georgia from Turkey, possibly in the next few days. But how many countries are you anticipating travelling through in the next few weeks before arriving at the Chinese border for mid-June?
Actual individual countries, five, but in practice I go in and out of them, so you actually cross something like seven or eight borders. One of the reasons I had the map drawn up was because I could just about sort of get my head around the geography of the region. I thought, well, I'm living and breathing it, and I thought it might be useful for other people to grasp exactly the route that I'm sort of taking. Even if, of course, one of the stans, Kyrgyzstan, has probably a bit more well known of the last few days than was previously the case.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. I mean, would you like to tell us a little bit more about what's happened in the last week or so in Kyrgyzstan?
Well, about 24 hours after I secured my visa for said country from actually some really lovely, helpful people in their consulate in Istanbul, I think it's fair to say that chaos, sadly a fairly bloody uprising, I think, has occurred in the capital there. Although I do get from the news feeds that I pick up, I get the sense that things are sort of calming down. I should be at the border in about 6 weeks' time, which I think at the moment is closed, but I'm feeling optimistic that I should be able to get into Bishkek, because I think it'd be really interesting to go and see and talk to people and find out what life is like there. Obviously, I'll make the final decision as to whether to enter when I get close to the border, take advice from people like our Foreign Office, and so won't be doing anything ill-advised or sort of irresponsible. But I suspect it'll be safe enough to spend a couple of days there. But my route through there is only a couple of hundred kilometres anyway, and in the worst case, I am able to go around without threatening my my deadline of China. But if anything, I'm more keen than ever to go and see for myself and let everybody know through the website.
Yeah, and does Britain have a consulate, an embassy of something along those lines in Bishkek, the capital?
We don't have an embassy there. We do have one fairly close by, actually, in neighbouring Kazakhstan. But we do have a consul, and I'm told the place to look for him is to locate Fat Boys Cafe in Bishkek. And I just, you know, that's an, you know, a sort of irresistible sort of invitation, I think. It just has to be done, if at all possible. So you never know, there might be a videoed interview with the consul.
Yeah, that would be a great posting on the blog, wouldn't it? I guess your formal advice around travel comes through the Foreign and Commonwealth Office website and so on, but are you able to get information from other cyclists travelling around? I know you've got an informal sort of network of other long-distance cyclists that you link in with through sort of the hostels and perhaps through the netbook and so on. Is there anyone travelling around Kyrgyzstan at the moment that you know of?
Nobody going that way at the moment, but the advice that you get, not just on the Foreign Office website, I think actually so few UK nationals go to that part of the world that actually, certainly my dealings with our Foreign Office staff in the various stands, they've been very sort of helpful. I've got a couple of invitations for mugs of tea and biscuits, which I should be taking up. So you get probably a lot more very specific advice than you perhaps might get if you go to some of the countries where, you know, hundreds of thousands of Brits go to sort of every year. So I think I'm getting very good advice from them. And at the end of the day, you have your sort of instinctive feeling for things on the road. I've got various things to sort of compare to now as to whether I should be genuinely concerned or whether I need to be sort of cautious and how to judge the information. So yeah, I feel pretty confident that I'll be able to make very informed, sensible judgments on the road as to the sort of situation, my sort of safety and security.
I guess you'll become like a local authority for other people that might be travelling in your footsteps or your bicycle wheels shortly after you. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because we watched the iPlayer the other night. This other fairly world-famous cyclist now, Mark Beaumont, a Scots guy who's travelling down the west coast of the Americas, and he was very, very aware of the amount of mileage which he had to do to get down for a particular commitment he had, I think, in either Chile or Argentina. What kind of plans do you have for mileage each day to hit this deadline for the Chinese border by June the 14th? Are you able to plan your mileage out fairly exactly each day in the planning stages?
I work on the basis of about 100 kilometres a day. Obviously, terrain has, and road surfaces and so forth, which I think are going to get worse as I go further east. But a compensation, of course, is that the days are getting longer, I've got more light, and that is sort of a huge help for me, so I can compensate with that. So I think that whilst there's good ground to cover to get to China, it is eminently feasible. Once I'm over, then I think I work my average out at cautiously about 90 kilometres a day if I just have the current 60 days to sort of get across. But we won't be having sort of weeks off exploring some of the cities. It'll be a few days sort of here and there and then back on to the road. But that's no bad thing because I enjoy more, you know, meeting people there in the cities, which actually after a while they'll kind of blur a bit. They're all very cosmopolitan so far, at least, all very similar looking. And yeah, you soon find yourself wanting to get back out into the countryside.
And in terms of accommodation, have you any idea of where you might be able to stay when you're crossing these stands? I mean, I know you've got all your camping equipment with you and you've used that on occasions as you've been travelling, heading off from Western France. Do you think it'll be, as before, a mix of your night camping in other places, cheap local hostels and so on?
My expectation is probably about half the time I will be camping and the other half will be whatever I find. It might be a homestay, might be some cheap accommodation, or just invited off the road by people, I think, whatever I really sort of encounter, as well as organising actually through various travellers' websites, perhaps getting to stay with fellow travellers at their sort of homes. I've done that on a number of occasions so far. It's been absolutely sort of fascinating. So there's a sort of raft of options, an element of planning and an element of just getting out there and seeing what you find and judging it on the day, really.
Well, that's great. Well, Ken, I think we've just about run out of time for this month's interview, but sort of final point before we go, do you want to give another plug to the website? Because I know you've had a renewed interest in making it more of a multimedia section of the trip for the next few months. Would you like to tell us a little bit more about the developments on the digital front of your expedition?
Yep, you can follow my antics at www.acrosscontinents.org. There's some new videos on there. There is, of course, the new map which shows the stars of my route over to China. I've just posted our last interview that we did, so people can listen to that from the website. And for those people who have not already done so, you can, of course, subscribe to the blog. You can also follow me on Facebook. And again, there's a lot more material, photographs that have been popped onto there. And, of course, If you want to find out more about the Outward Bound Trust, the charity that I'm seeking to raise at least £1 for every mile cycled for, then there's lots more information there and a link to their own website as well. And there's a few more things planned to be added as I move into more interesting territory, I think, further east.
Well, that's great. I mean, certainly one of the things I like about your website is that you can subscribe to the blogs as they come in, normally once or twice a week. And it's a real treat when I open up my inbox and I see the Across Continents has come in and follow the progress that way. And then normally once a fortnight or so, I look at the website. In particular, I always enjoy the gallery section for the photographs. But, I guess you'll get some good photographs for the next few weeks as you begin your crossings of the Starns, Ken. And we wish you well as ever.